Welcome to The Babblery, conversations where we explore the knowledge, opinions, passions, and obsessions of my guests. This is Suki Wessling, and today's program was recorded for Talk of the Bay on KSQD 90.7 FM Santa Cruz, California, streaming online at www.ksqd.org. Some years ago, I took a jazz singing course at our local community college. The instructor, the wonderful big band leader Wally Trindade, said that to really test our chops, we had to go to the jam at Bocce's. I can't remember how awful my first attempt was, but I do remember noticing that I had found a community. In 2019, with jams under my belt and a band of my own, I somehow ended up inheriting the Jazz Society of Santa Cruz County's newsletter and becoming board secretary. It was sort of an accident, but it seemed fun. Then came the pandemic. Like most of us, I had to look for something to get me through, and keeping our little community alive was a worthy project. We took our jam online, which was really dreadful on a musical level, but helped nurture our little community. We kept our jams going, raised money for musicians who were out of work, and beefed up our educational lecture series. Not being able to meet and make music in real time made it painfully obvious how important making music together is. Jazz is many things, but its core is interaction. There's probably nothing worse than listening to a band full of awesome jazz musicians who are all trying to prove they're better than the last player. You can hear it. If the musicians don't listen to each other and respond generously, it doesn't matter how many notes they can cram into a measure or how perfect their tone is. Without community and real human interaction, jazz as a music loses its soul. The essence of what the Jazz Society does is to nurture a local community that has been going strong for generations. I asked my co-host Christine Barrington to host this chat, and I was so grateful that she put such thought and care into her questions. Even if you don't live anywhere near Santa Cruz, I think you'll be impressed with what we've built and nurtured here. Listen in.
Welcome to Talk of the Bay. I'm Christine Barrington. This is Talk of the Bay, and you are listening to a backbeat jam session filling our local vets hall with the sound of jazz and sponsored by the Jazz Society of Santa Cruz County. The Jazz Society is a nonprofit, volunteer-run organization dedicated to promoting the performance, education, and appreciation of jazz. At the heart of the Jazz Society's offerings are their low-key jazz jams, backed by an all-pro band. Any jazz musician from beginner to pro can play, socialize, and learn in the jam-style environment that has nurtured jazz music for over 100 years. The Jazz Society of Santa Cruz County has operated for over 20 years and often under the radar of people's awareness, even amongst the many local musicians and jazz aficionados of the region. Well, this year might change that, with the City of Santa Cruz giving the Jazz Society a boost by choosing it as a recipient of their City Arts Recovery Design Grant, otherwise known as a CARD grant. And here to talk about the history and future of jazz in Santa Cruz and why the Society's mission matters, we have three members of the Jazz Society's board. Kathy Blackburn is a jazz singer living in the East Bay with long-standing family ties to Santa Cruz. She reconnected with the Jazz Society during the pandemic and is currently board president. Ken Koenig is a retired physician, a lifelong jazz enthusiast, and a jazz saxophonist. He is the vice president of the board and has produced and directed a jazz many jazz documentary films, including one about the rich history of jazz in Santa Cruz, which can currently be seen in its entirety on YouTube. And finally, along with being my co-host here on Talk of the Bay, Suki Vessling is a writer, teacher, and musician who moved to Santa Cruz in the 90s. She edits the Jazz Society Weekly newsletter, which features news about our local jazz community, and she sings and also plays a number of instruments. She says, badly, but joyfully. Welcome, Suki, and welcome, Kathy and Ken. Are you there, Kathy?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. You're there.
Thank you very much.
It's nice to hear your voices.
Oh. Well, that opening piece was a Backbeat Jam session featuring a young woman named June Kavlin, right?
I think
yes.
So.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And so why is it important that young musicians like June have an opportunity to join these jams? And there's three of you. Suki, who shall
well,
we go ahead?
Well, I'm going to talk about, I wasn't young, but I sang classical and also sort of weird experimental folk in my own band for my whole adult life. And then I had always liked jazz, but then I decided to start singing jazz. And I took a class at Cabrillo, and the teacher of that class, the wonderful Wally Trindade, said, the place that you all need to go if you really want to sing jazz is to the jam at Bocce's. Back then, it took place at the restaurant called Bocce's Cellar. And the reason that our jam has to be open to everyone is the only way you can really learn how to sing or play or improvise with a jazz band is to actually do it. There is no other substitute. And so we have people coming in everywhere from teenagers just learning to 6-year-olds just learning to people who are making their living. And it's a great and always unpredictable environment.
It is. It's this essence, right, of learning through doing, creating in the moment that seems to be the heart of jazz. Kathy, would you like to add anything to what
you said? Yes. Well, I think it's important for all people to know about jazz, but young people especially, because jazz is really the only genre of music truly born in America. And it is, by definition, an improvisational genre. And it is a genre that never stays the same. If you listen to every genre of music today, from musical theater to hip hop to classical music being reinvented and reimagined, it all includes some elements of jazz. And so if one is going to be enjoying American music and well-versed in American music, jazz is a foundational genre to know. And it's super fun. The most fun experience that a person can have with music is getting together with other people. You speak a basic language, but then you just go crazy and make it your own and try different things. And it's about experimentation. So I think it's important for all of us to know jazz, but young people, especially by learning jazz, they are keeping alive an ever-changing foundational part of American music.
Right. And what I hear you describing is this essence of play. Jazz seems at its heart to have playfulness, and you can't learn through playing unless you're willing to have failures and make mistakes and learn while you're doing that in front of audiences. That's my impression.
Very true.
And so, Ken, I want to invite your voice in. Can you speak to what Kathy and Suki have already shared?
Sure. Thank you. There are lots of ways to play jazz. In fact, many of us played with band in a box or
yes.
online computer programs that allowed us to play along with a synthesized rhythm section during the pandemic. And that was one way we were able to continue learning and still continue to use it. But it isn't the same as playing with live musicians. You can't respond back and forth between each other with the canned band. You can't hear the piano player, for example, feed you different kinds of chords and different kinds of sounds that inspire you to play in creative ways and ways that you hadn't even thought about yourself until you hear what other musicians are doing. So to really learn to play jazz, you really need to play with a lot with live musicians. And one of the few ways to do that is to come to a jam session, because the opportunity to play with professional musicians is rare indeed. I mean, you might be able to form your own group if you're starting, but you're not going to play with musicians generally that are better than you. And one of the ways to learn quickly is to play with people who are better than you. And so that's why a lot of us go to the jam session, because we have professional musicians, high-grade musicians, local musicians who, in fact, sometimes musicians who are dropping by from out of town, who you can play with and listen to and give yourself that opportunity.
Mm, so there are all these important themes I see coming up, and there's layers of meaning in them, right? The power of what you can only learn by being in a room together with others, coordinating with them, and learning from them.
Yeah, and you know, during the pandemic, speaking of canned jazz tracks, we did keep the jam alive. It was on life support, but we met in Zoom and we tried to play music together. And a handful of us stalwart souls were there just trying to make music of any sort with each other. And of course, music is all about time, and the internet causes there to be a lag in time. So it was very frustrating, but it was still important. And, you know, getting together, having musicians get together and talk to each other and play music with each other is just so important.
Mm, and speaking of talking together, if you've just tuned in, this is KSQD Santa Cruz on 90.7 FM. And I have with me on in the studio and through technology, three members of the board of the Jazz Society of Santa Cruz. And they are talking about this amazing purpose and mission that they have is to provide opportunities for jazz musicians to play together in a room and learn from one another, and especially to have a place where budding and developing musicians can come. Of course, but musicians are always budding and developing, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's some of your mission. And y'all have been around for 20 years in Santa mm-hmm. Cruz?
22, actually.
Can you give us a few highlights? 20 years is a long time, and I noticed that you had said that you guys have been operating under the radar, and I think you want to change that, right? So speak a little bit about these 20 years and maybe what you're seeing looking forward, and we can pull in that grant you just got.
Yeah, and Ken, why don't you start? Because I don't come into this picture till a small number of years ago, but Ken has been around in the jazz community for a longer time, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about the early years.
Well, as far as the jam sessions are concerned, they started at Bocce's. A gentleman named Steve Newman really was responsible for getting this together, and the jazz community owed a great deal of debt to Steve for putting in the time and the effort to sustain these sessions. They happened on a regular basis on every Sunday afternoon at, as you mentioned, Bocce's Cellar, which is over sort of by Costco. And it was an opportunity to play with people, to meet other people in the jazz community. And I think it lasted for many years. Various forms, various people were involved. The sponsorship, of course, was at a restaurant, so the food was available and drink was available and so on.
Yeah, perfect environment.
When the pandemic hit, of course, that stopped, and unfortunately, Steve passed away at that time, not from COVID, but at any rate, he passed away. And so we have been revitalizing the jam sessions, and I got involved on the board in a year ago, January, And so we've been kind of working on it since then and only got the jams really started. We had one in November, but really got them started now in February at the Vets Hall downtown. And so since then, we've really kept them going every second and fourth Sunday of the month. And that's been the way we've continued on this tradition.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to point out that, so what happened with Kathy's involvement is quite interesting, because Kathy used to come back in the days when Steve Newman was running the jam, and got disconnected from it for a while. And then during the pandemic, I, you know, started announcing in the newsletter that we're having these online jams. And so Kathy started to come. And then I was like, Kathy, so interested in coming to a board meeting?
Wow. So the pandemic really has brought a lot of changes.
Oh, yeah.
And many silver linings. So Kathy,
yes,
you're on the board. You're giving this gift of Santa Cruz, but you don't live in Santa Cruz?
I don't live in Santa Cruz. I wish I did, Christine, because I don't think that, well, I shouldn't say I don't think, I don't know if people in Santa Cruz know how incredibly unusual it is to have a continuously operating every other week or so jam session that is organized, that has a professional house band and welcomes musicians of all levels. That is very unusual. And as Suki said, when the pandemic hit and my sort of music life here in the East Bay kind of dried up for a while with no gigs and not even any rehearsals, I kind of saw this notice about the online Zoom jam and said, well, shoot, let me try this. And it was a really fun, even though it was a dedicated, you know, cadre of a few people, it was really fun. And I just thought it was so impressive that you had this group of people who were keeping the music going at all, against all odds. And so, yes, that is my, you know, that's what draws me to being involved, because the Jazz Society is a pretty unique organization among all the many different jazz related organizations one can be involved with.
And I will say that we roped Kathy into the board, and then, you know, her rise was meteoric. we saw that Kathy was just an extremely talented person, and so Kathy's now president of the board.
Christine, no one else wanted to do it.
but really, you know, the interesting thing about this organization is, you know, when you form a nonprofit, you have to fill out some forms, and there's like this low basic amount of stuff you need to fulfill to be a nonprofit, and a lot of small organizations just sort of stick there. And so the Jazz Society was really stuck there for 20 years, and it was fine. It was, you know, what it needed. But Kathy came to the board one day, and she's like, oh, the city of Santa Cruz has this this recovery grant going on.
Wow.
And would it be okay if I, you know, do the initial stuff? It was a sort of a pre-application thing. And we said, yeah. And Kathy did this unbelievable job. And
well, that's called leadership.
Yeah.
And so, Kathy, let's talk about the CARD grant and
sure.
the vision that y'all have for taking advantage of that.
Sure. Well, another impressive thing about Santa Cruz, and I can say this because in my hometown of Dublin, I serve on the Heritage and Cultural Arts Commission, and Santa Cruz also has an arts commission. And I can say that Santa Cruz really sees the arts as integral to the success of the city and the fabric of the community. And that's what this grant is about. The city, it's managed by the city's Economic Development Department, which in and of itself is a little bit unusual. The grant is specifically designed to help with economic recovery due to the pandemic. Many businesses suffered. And so the city put out a call for applications from arts organizations and independent artists for projects that would help build economic recovery. And we just thought that our jam was tailor-made for that because it brings about 30 people on average together downtown on a Sunday afternoon and to enjoy downtown Santa Cruz and enjoy making music together. And so that's what this grant is about. It's supporting the jams. We consider our jams right now to be co-sponsored by the city of Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. And I will just also say that the grant allowed us to realize a vision. We had a vision as a board during the pandemic for what we hoped the jams could be after we were able to get them started again. And it involved some new and improved upgrades to our equipment, sustain a professional house band, that type of thing. And the city of Santa Cruz's grant is helping us do that. So we're very grateful for it.
Yeah, our sound just keeps getting better. Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say that one of the things that Kathy brought with her was an openness to relooking at the jams in a new way. And so as a board, we've been not changing the basic idea of what a jam session is, but looking deeply at how it's run and creating a sense where everyone feels comfortable, everyone feels at home, everyone feels that they're going to come down and have an opportunity to play with the band, and that they're welcome, and that we want them there. And so we're trying to encourage not only the people who often generally come to the jam sessions, but also young people and newer people in town who can attend and be part of our group.
Yeah, we've had people who come who are just here on vacation and hear about us and come in, or we have college students who are home for the summer who will come and play. One person who's been playing at the jam is studying at the Eastman School of Music. I mean,
wow.
Like nice. Really mm-hmm. serious players will come through, not from out of town, but we also have a thriving pro community here that I think a lot of people don't know about, because Santa Cruz is not really known as a great jazz town for performing. If you go to Kuwumba, you know, yeah, you're going to see the top people, but the people who are the working musicians who live in towns in California, Monterey is seen as a better place to have a career than Santa Cruz is.
And what constitutes a place that is great to have a career, where there are like a lot of venues, normal venues, restaurants, cafes, bars?
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what up in Santa Cruz?
Santa Cruz used to have that kind of an ambience back in the 70s, back in the 80s. Things started to kind of dry up in the 90s a bit more, and then now it's pretty slim pickings as far as jazz venues. I think rock and people like bars like blues players, they like rock and roll, they like folk, but jazz has always been a marginal part of the music business, but it's even more so now.
Yeah, and one of our board members, Steve Gray, has a big band which plays on Thursday nights at Sevi's, which is the renamed, reconfigured Severino's in Aptos at the Seacliff Inn. And he told me this story. He was at some event, and the person he was talking to turned out to be a booking agent. And he said he had a band, and the booking agent looked really interested and excited and asked, you know, what do you play? And when he said jazz, he said the booking agent turned around and walked away. Didn't even say anything. And that there's this sense, I think, because people don't realize that jazz is this jazz isn't just a big boat. Jazz is like it's like one of those luxury cruises where you have just every kind of person and every kind of style. I mean, it's enormous. So people have this idea that it's this, you know, they might have heard something really sort of atonal and notey and unlistenable, and they'll say, well, that's what jazz is. No, there's no one thing that jazz is. You can go anywhere from, you know, Steve Gray's band is a big band.
You've got swing big band, you've got swing, you've got bebop. Mm-hmm. Even like I noticed you had blues in your newsletter, and I'm like, I'm not super knowledgeable about jazz. I'm actually learning about it because of the work I do at the station. And there's so many jazz shows, and I interview the DJs, and I need to get educated. And so I've been watching Ken Burns' series and listening to Bobby Bishop's History of Jazz. Mm-hmm. And learning and becoming more and more enraptured and amazed and stunned and so more interested in listening to it. And I know that's a big part. I think that's a big part of the mission of the Jazz Society of Santa Cruz is to educate people, right?
That's correct. Santa mm-hmm. Cruz used to have a vibrant jazz community starting back way back in the early 1900s. And during the war, for example, Beach Street, where the wharf in the amusement park and all of that was full of clubs that had jazz and blues and all kinds of music. And that continued on. I mean, places like the Cooper House downtown before the earthquake, the Cooper House used to have jazz every afternoon.
With warmth.
That's correct. Don McCaslin.
Mm, what a wonderful name for a band.
Oh, it was wonderful.
And it was wonderful. It was like the heart of downtown. Yeah. And I know, Ken, you made a documentary, and I want to talk about that more in the second half of the show. But just to talk about the Cooper House, it was like the heart of Santa Cruz. And after the earthquake, I always wondered, why didn't they rebuild it in a way that would accommodate that? We have Abbott Square, and it's getting going. But, I mean, the Cooper House was right there. And maybe nobody wants to speak to that, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Does anybody know why that wasn't more treasured or maybe seen as, like, talk about economic development, right?
Yeah. I think that a number of mistakes were made, and one of them the pandemic proved, which was when I was not here during the earthquake, I moved after, but... when I moved here and realized that they had gotten rid of the Pacific Garden Mall, that's what it used to be called, because there were no cars. Right. They just had a few through streets, and it was full of pedestrians and trees. And I just remember coming here as a tourist and thinking, wow, this is incredible. And then coming here to live here, and it's like, it's just a street paved over, and
That was your perception.
There was this loss of a sense of community, and I think Abbott Square is developing into a really beautiful thing.
It really is, yeah.
But they did only offer us Sunday nights outdoors for the jazz jam, and that just
a little cold.
It's a little cold.
Okay,
yeah. So,
and Kathy, I want to invite your voice back in. I'm remembering how you said that. Perhaps Santa Cruz doesn't realize how valuable what the Jazz Society provides is, you know, having a place where people can go and play together regularly. And like, I'm a classically trained singer and I've done some jazz-like stuff. And when Suki was talking about it, I was like, anyone can come? Like, anyone can come? But are really all levels welcome? If there were something like that for classical music or anything, it was just regular, it was happening, you could just come, it would change my life. So,
yes, I can imagine. Mm-hmm. Well, right. It is true that all levels are welcome. We do play jazz. Jazz mm-hmm. has a language and a repertoire, like, mm-hmm. like classical music. And right. and so one of the things that we do that we hope will be very accessible to any musician is every jam has a few songs that we call all play tunes. Mm-hmm. And that means it's a standard tune in the jazz repertoire. There's charts for it. Anyone can prepare and be ready for that. And then at the jam, anyone who wants to come up and play mm-hmm. can play a chorus of that tune. And you get to hear what other people do with the chord progression. You get to practice. If you practiced in advance, you get to play what you practiced. And anyone is welcome. So it's not a traditional, what we might think of as open mic type of thing, although certainly people do come and perform their own music and perform solo. That's also part of it. But we really try to get everybody up to play as much as they possibly can. And you can play on someone else's song. You can invite people to play on your song. So that's what makes it, I think, unusual and very accessible to many people.
I would just add that those all play tunes are published about a week or two ahead of time.
I saw that in the newsletter, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that when you see them published, you have an opportunity to look for the music, practice at home, and then bring what you know, what you've worked on, to the jam session. Mm-hmm. And then any level can play a tune. You can play just the music, the melody of the tune, and that would be acceptable. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to improvise if you don't want to.
I wanted to point out that the jam is a sort of practice in the way that practicing medicine is a practice. It's not practice like when you're at home and you're, you know, in the jazz idiom, you say you're woodshedding when you're practicing at home, you know, with nobody listening, right? Where you're going to go over and over something, you're going to practice a technique. It's practice in the way that a doctor practices, in that you continue to play with others and you improve just by playing with others. And you not only improve, but you help the people who are at an earlier level than you to improve too. So even when we get pros coming, they're part of this ecosystem of practicing. When we hear them, it's like I've seen these mm-hmm. really junior players mm-hmm. listening to a pro take their turn in a lineup in an all-play tune, mm-hmm. and they've got this look on their face like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow this guy. You know, uh-huh.
It's musical mentorship.
Yeah.
And that's so beautiful. And I can't wait to hear more about what the Jazz Society of Santa Cruz is doing. But we're going to take a short break. You are listening to KSQD Santa Cruz on 90.7 FM, live streaming at ksqd.org. This is Talk of the Bay. I am Christine Barrington. And this show is about the Jazz Society of Santa Cruz County. And we will be back with more from our three board members right after a few messages. Now, I was going to blend seamlessly into a piece of music that I pulled because I read the newsletter, Suki, that you write, and I noticed there was a man who I found intriguing. His name is Rick Walker, and he talked about the fact that he got to play on National Mexican Prime Time with his Mexican trio to celebrate the 60th anniversary of Time Out. So we are going to hear a bit from somebody who is associated with the Jazz Society of Santa Cruz, Rick Walker, for just a minute. You are listening to KSQD Santa Cruz at 90.7 FM and live streaming at ksqd.org. This is Talk of the Bay. I'm Christine Barrington, and I have with me in the studio members of the Board of Directors for the Jazz Society of Santa Cruz County. They offer jam sessions, right? You have a special word for them, and now it's like I've lost it, right? the Backbeat Jam Sessions. They happen every second and fourth Sunday of the month at the Veterans Hall. And we just heard from Rick Walker. He's not playing at the jams. He was playing on national television in Mexico. And but he has a special role in the Jazz Society.
He does. He does. So Rick was one of the people who started joining us in our online jam session, and he was so helpful. He was, because most jazz musicians are really not into technology, especially before the pandemic. So many jazz musicians got more into technology during the pandemic because they were stuck at home with their computers or their phones. But Rick was really into technology because Rick has not only been a jazz drummer and working drummer who performs throughout the world, but he also is a live looper. And I'm going to have Rick on this show on October 17th. And so anyone who's interested in looping, I will put a link to it in on the podcast page for this show. So do come back, because Rick is his looping world is, it's amazing what he does with looping. But so what happened was that Rick was also coming to these, and he joined the board for a while. But what he wanted to do was he wanted to become our band leader and make sure that we would have an excellent house band. So he is now our band leader, and he's there on the drums. And it sounds like we have a call coming in, no? So go ahead and... So we may have a call coming in. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Rick is a really great example of the musicians, the excellent pro musicians living in this town who, you know, before the pandemic, he was traveling around the world, and now he's gracing us with his presence the whole year round, which we're very happy with.
Right. And just to put in a little plug for Rick, next Saturday from 3 to 6 in the afternoon, Rick and his brother are going to be playing and doing live looping at Robbie's Sub and Pizza, which I think is on Water Street.
Yeah, it's like at the corner of Water and...
Branciforti, I
think.
Branciforti
or something. Yeah, it's right.
Robbie's.
It's okay. A Robbie's Pizza. They have an outdoor... There's an example of a new venue that's really open to a variety of music. So we need, as a community of people who love music and don't want every single venue to turn into, you know, a whatever's popular venue, we need to go and support these businesses. So I really appreciate that Robbie's is willing to host such a wide variety of music.
I also noticed in the newsletter, see, I got into this, right? that Rick Walker offers a rhythm musician training course that apparently is really transformational. And I'm like, I think I'm going to take it, because it's not just for jazz musicians. It's for musicians. Uh-huh. So I look forward to the interview with Rick October 17th, right here at KSQD Santa Cruz. And now I'd like to pivot back to you, Ken. You have on YouTube a full-length documentary about the history of jazz in Santa Cruz. I believe it's called Santa Cruz Swings. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Jazz on the West Coast, Santa Cruz Swings.
Yeah, and it's for anyone who loves Santa Cruz, this is a joyful walk through memory lane, and it's pretty exciting to witness through your lens, Ken, what has happened here. I really didn't know very much about what the history of jazz was in Santa Cruz. How was it making that documentary, and when was it created?
Oh, thank you very much. I had made a previous documentary about the Lighthouse Cafe down in Hermosa Beach, which was the center of West Coast jazz in the late 40s and early 50s, all the way up until the mid 60s. And I had some knowledge of the history on the West Coast, but then I thought, wow, this would be really interesting to pursue the history here in Santa Cruz. And so the opportunity presented itself, and I met so many wonderful people and got re-involved in the jazz world in a way that I hadn't anticipated. And so that actually got me back into playing saxophone and, and working on my own saxophone playing. But I did get to work with and meet people like Don McCaslin and Tim Jackson, who started the Kumba Jazz Center, and Ray Brown, who was the master teacher at Cabrillo College for many jazz musicians locally and some who have made it nationally. And I talked with Gail Dobson, who she and her husband were premier jazz players and locally, and Jeff Ballard and Donnie McCaslin, who's the son of Don, Claudia Villela, who's a wonderful Brazilian vocalist here, and it will be playing at the Kumba pretty soon, has been playing all around the Bay Area lately, and the LaBouffe brothers, who were wonderful musicians, and Ben Phlox, who's been in New York and now is in L.A. and is teaching at Stanford, and so many people that that came from this history, and you know it involves as you mentioned the Cooper House and the Kumbwa and Beach Street and the Coconut Grove. There used to be wonderful big bands coming through at the Coconut Grove
on a regular. All Benny Goodman and Count Basie and all the great names.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to invite you maybe to tell one story from your documentary. But before we do, I would like to remind our listeners that we're listening to KSQD Santa Cruz on 90.7 FM. This is Talk of the Bay. I'm Christine Barrington. And we did have a caller. And we thank the caller for reminding us that we haven't yet told anyone where to find
you
guys.
No, we haven't. So we can be found at jazzsantacruz.org. And please pardon our dust. We are an all-volunteer organization, and we really didn't have anything except for a single page up until we got a volunteer who is right now expanding the site. And every time I reload it, it changes. So, but on the site, you will be able to find a link to sign up for our newsletter, which is really the sort of place where you get all the information about the jams and everything that's going on locally. And also, local bands list their gigs. So, you know, I mentioned Steve Gray's big band. You can find out where they're playing, and other bands that are playing locally. And so please do go to our website, jazzsantacruz.org, for all of those links.
Right. And so if people want to know what y'all are up to, it's really the newsletter that
is that
golden path of communication. And in the newsletter, if people were saying, if I want some information like right now, are there people they could reach out to, they could email if they had questions? It's all in the newsletter, right?
Yeah.
And you have a Facebook page, which is Jazz Society of Santa Cruz on Facebook.
And so the really great place on Facebook is actually our private group, which anyone who's a real human being can join. we who are the stewards of that page do make sure that it's real humans. So if you answer the questions like you're a bot, you won't get in. so do answer the questions as a real human being, and you will be welcomed into our wonderful Facebook group, which we had to close because there was just a period during the pandemic where there were just way too many people trying to disrupt things. And so anyway, it is closed, but very welcoming. So please do come to our Facebook group, which you can get to from our Facebook page. And, you know, just if you search for Jazz Society Santa Cruz, you're going to find everything.
Okay. So we're so grateful that the listener called in and that folks are enjoying the show. And so, Ken, back to you and your marvelous documentary. Is there a story that you might be willing to share from all those years that you covered that you think listeners might enjoy hearing?
Well, I'll tell you how the documentary got started. In the 1950s, there was a big funeral back in Harlem in New York. And after the funeral, a photographer invited all these great jazz musicians who attended to come to a particular house in Harlem around the corner, and they posed for this picture, which is historic in jazz history, and it's called The Great Day in Harlem. And so in 2006, a group of people decided to get together all the jazz musicians that wanted to attend in Santa Cruz. And they all met on the wharf, and a picture was taken, and that is over 50 jazz musicians at that time. And so that's basically was in honor of an homage to the 50s picture that was taken. And so with that picture, then I got to meet many people, and that's how this documentary got started. And you'll see some of that footage in the documentary.
I enjoyed the story of Gil Evans, who went on to play with Miles Davis, right? And how he came in. He was from Stockton, is that correct? And he came into Santa Cruz and they spiffed up the Capitola Ballroom. Now, a lot of people probably don't even know there was a Capitola Ballroom. I found all of that fascinating, how there was a huge Capitola Hotel and, you know, there was this big scene, you know, with music, and then the hotel did burn down. But this Capitola Ballroom was there, and he came in and made for a pretty fabulous summer of music. Is that correct?
That's correct. And they were competing with the Coconut Grove that had the other bands. Mm-hmm. So if you go back to the old newspapers, you can see the competing advertisements. It's kind of curious. And the other thing about Capitola was that they had two places called the Saba and the Caribbean, two clubs. And those were jazz clubs. And some of the great big bands played at the Caribbean and the Saba, and it was marvelous back then. So we want to restart that's for sure.
Doesn't it make you feel nostalgic? Does it make you feel nostalgic, Kathy, when you see these images and you hear these stories? My heart kind of aches, because I'm like, I want to go back there. I want to experience those things.
It does. And I'll tell you, one of my very favorite subjects is jazz history. I've just, in studying jazz, I've written a few papers about the birth of jazz and the birth of bebop, and, you know, looked at the music through the eyes of Dizzy and Charlie Parker, and it's an amazing American story. It's an amazing human story. And although we often think of places like New Orleans and New York and Chicago as meccas for jazz, and certainly they are, the West Coast definitely fits into that pantheon. And it's there's a quite a storied past in the West Coast. And I love that Ken created this documentary about Santa Cruz. It's something I didn't really know until I watched it. So, yes. And so that, I will just say, that is part of the mission of the Jazz Society, is about building community, preserving the deep jazz legacy that characterizes Santa Cruz, and building community among the people who enjoy playing and hearing jazz now. Well,
and it becomes like a part of your identity when you recognize, like, oh, I'm from Santa Cruz, and now I have this layer to my identity as a Santa Cruzan, and I'm likely to be more invested to further the culture of jazz in Santa Cruz. That's what has happened through the Santa Cruz Jazz Society, just in my exposure, say, with this education arm, which Ken created with this documentary. It's important for us to know, like, who we are, and we feel that legacy. It gets into ourselves.
Yeah, yes, and we have some wonderful education here in Santa Cruz. Also, the high school's jazz programs are wonderful. There's just some great education of our teens going on, and also the Cabrillo program. And Ken mentioned that Ray Brown has retired, but Steve Wilson is now taking up the mantle and teaching jazz improv at Cabrillo and building that program back up. So, you know, there's also jazz singing, there's jazz ensembles at Cabrillo. So there's a lot of education here in Santa Cruz. The I talk to people who have kids elsewhere, and they're just like, really? You have jazz in your high schools? So, yeah.
And let me just mention that the last jam session yesterday, Steve Wilson was there playing. John Dryden, who is a local pianist, who's spent many years playing on the New York scene, has come back, and now he's teaching at San Jose State. He was playing at the jam session. Aaron Caceres, who started at Cabrillo with Ray Brown and now is living in New York and playing. Was back for the summer, and he was playing there.
And his mom sings at the jams.
Mom sings. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
I made that connection yesterday.
Right. So. And Kathy, when we were talking about, you know, this history and identity, was there something more you wanted to say? I heard your voice, and I wanted to check back.
I was just going to say that although, yes, there is a lot of education in the area around jazz, and we try not to duplicate. What we try to do is extend that into perhaps a more community, grassroots environment. And so we have in the past, and I know that we will again, restart our Jazz for Everybody lecture series. We will also hold jam prep sessions for people who are new to jamming and want to get a little bit of inside info on how you make the most of a jam and have the best time that you can. And we kind of think of our Facebook page as sort of a town square, if you will, where mm-hmm. people can put their own music and talk about what they're doing. So there's a lot going on with the Jazz Society, in addition to the jams, that is about building that community.
Mm, so there's going to be a lecture series? I'm not a jazz musician, but I am a student, and I'm like, that got me kind of lit up.
This is something that Rick Walker started that, and we've had a number of things also. We have had interviews and stuff too, but Rick started this series that is on hiatus for the summer, but hopefully we'll starting up again, mm-hmm. of jazz musicians coming in and lecturing about, not just lecturing, but also sort of giving little mini workshops about certain things.
And would this happen during the Backbeat Jams or separately?
It was happening right before.
Right,
but
before, okay.
but we'll see. Well, you know, as far as the scheduling goes, we haven't scheduled the next ones, but mm-hmm. but start getting the newsletter and you'll mm-hmm. find out.
I will sign up for the newsletter. And Kathy,
one of those silver linings of the pandemic is that we found we could do these on Zoom, and they attracted people literally from all over the world.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. So we may do that too.
Well, we will certainly, you know, as much as we can, we've been live streaming, but we are right now in the Vets Hall basement, which has rather unreliable Wi-Fi. So, okay. So we do live stream, but every once in a while the stream just goes away and then it comes back again. So, you know.
And so with this grant, is there anything specifically about all this that you're talking about that the grant is going to enable to happen, or are there other specific things that you're going to invest in with that?
Well, the grant really has enabled us, as I said earlier, to fulfill the vision that we had for these jams. And by mm-hmm. that, okay. we mean that we have been able to hire what we consider to be top tier musicians for our house band, which makes a huge difference in the experience that you have at the jam. We've been able to invest in some new equipment. I will say to some of our other board members, we've had equipment donated. We've cobbled together things over the years, but we've been able to bring in some better new things like that. And also things like the jam prep sessions will be done with help from this grant. So there's a lot that we'll be able to do with this.
Sounds very exciting.
Yeah. So it won't cover everything, mm-hmm. but it covers the basics right now. And to continue it, of course, we're going to need the support of our community. Mm-hmm. So we'll want to make that clear to everyone. But the grant is definitely jump-starting all of this.
Right. And so that comes to the question, it can be rather obvious, but what are all the ways that people can support the Jazz Society of Santa Cruz County?
Well, there's two main ways, Christine. Okay. One is money and one is volunteering. That, you know, people and money is what makes nonprofit organizations succeed, and ours is no different. The difference, I think, with the Jazz Society that is that a little bit goes a long way, because mm-hmm. we still have some extremely dedicated volunteers, our board members, definitely, but we have others who also give of their time. And we will need, this grant won't last forever. And if we want to continue on the track that we're on, we will need to replace those funds when the grant ends. So there's a donation link. Everywhere you see the Jazz Society, there's a donation link. And there are ways to get a hold of us to volunteer as well. And we usually put our calls for volunteers in the newsletter And then we do, of course, email blasts to people who have said they want to do that.
So if people are interested in volunteering, sign up for the newsletter and they can see a description of, like, see if it fits them, right?
Which
y'all are needing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's not just at the jams, although it's really absolutely necessary for us to have volunteers at the jams, but anything right now, we would love to have more social media presence, but we're sort of stretched pretty thin. So if anyone out there who's not like coming to the jams, but loves to do social media stuff,
If you're a jazz lover, if you're proud of the history and legacy of jazz in Santa Cruz, and you're really knowledgeable in tech and social media, there's an organization that has your name on it. Yes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great.
Exactly.
And so, like, if somebody's listening right now, like, is there an email they could write to right away?
Yes. info@jazzsantacruz.org.
info@jazzsantacruz.org. Okay. Yep. So with about a minute and a half left, would each of you just have some last comments about why the Jazz Society matters and wrap it up and bring us home?
Well, I would say that people should consider coming down to the jam sessions, even if they're not going to play, even if they're not musicians. Mm-hmm. It's a place where you can see very cheaply, see some great jazz and get familiar with the jazz scene in Santa Cruz. And, I would highly recommend that, and we'd like to see more people attend and make it a community event rather than just an event for the musicians in town.
Mm-hmm. So jazz is community building.
Exactly.
And I think the Jazz Society matters because you can go out and hear live music. You can enjoy music, but there are very few places where you can truly play music with your colleagues, no matter how accomplished you may be. And the Jazz Society is a place where you can really play jazz.
Beautiful.
And I guess I would end by saying that one of the things that's wonderful about jazz in general and our jam in specific is that American culture is sort of losing its appreciation for amateurism, for people doing things because they love it. And even when the pros come to our jam, they're not coming to our jam because they're making money. Mm. They're just coming for the love of playing. And so you have everything from someone who started playing jazz when they were 60 years old to someone who's been, you know, a pro for years. And it's all about playing.
It's all about playing. Well, I want to thank our guests, Kathy Blackburn, Ken Koenig, and Suki Vessling, all members of the board of the Jazz Society of Santa Cruz that supports development of jazz in the Santa Cruz region. This has been Talk of the Bay. I'm Christine Barrington, and coming up next is First Person Singular.
You've been listening to The Babblery. Please visit www.babblery.com for links and information related to this podcast.